On the line now, I have Michelle Murphy from Social Justice Ireland. Good afternoon, Michelle.
Good afternoon, John.
Thank you very much for taking the call. Now, you're issuing your budget submissions shortly. And the way the government is at the moment, Michelle, like we have Fine Gael in power, we've Fianna Fáil, main opposition party, but seem to be supporting Fine Gael, we've Sinn Féin, we've Independence, we've Solidarity. Is there a lot more lobbying opportunities there now?
I think so, yes, because we do have a minority government, and obviously it's made up of Fine Gael and then the Independent Alliance, but then you also have some other independent ministers in there, and then it's being supported by Fianna Fáil from the outside. So I suppose there are more opportunities there, and as you said, we're launching our budget briefing on Monday. We'll be sending it all to all the TDs, the senators, the ministers, the civil servants. But I suppose now there not only are there more opportunities in the political realm, but also, you know, just some of the narrative coming out of government, you know, phrases like Republic of Opportunity and investment and infrastructure seems to be a focus. So I do think now perhaps there is more of an opportunity for groups to make their case. Whether politicians decide to follow up on it, of course, is another question.
Yeah. I just said earlier on the show, discussion is great, and it's great when people are telling you that they agree with you and are concerned and all that,
yeah.
But it's actually getting something done.
Exactly. That can be the biggest challenge. You know, often you meet a lot of policymakers or politicians, and they might agree with your proposals or with a lot of what you're saying, but to actually get something implemented seems to be the real challenge. I suppose an obvious example of this would be the housing issue, and, you know, Rebuilding Ireland is actually a good document. It's a good framework. There's just not enough money behind it, and now we have a new minister who's reviewing it, but it doesn't need to be reviewed in any way, shape or form. What it really needs is for government to actually invest in building social housing units, because that's the only way to solve the crisis. And, you know, I mean, countless groups have been saying this for the past number of years, but, you know, as you can see from reports that, you know, the minister is simply going to review Rebuilding Ireland. Whether he'll source additional funds remains to be seen, or whether he'll change the realistically, they won't address the housing problem without significantly investing in building social housing units. I mean, that is the only way to address the problem. And there seems to be, I suppose, almost an ideological opposition to this at some level in government.
Yeah, social housing is a major problem at the moment, and the homelessness is huge. They're investing money in quick builds and in hubs. How do you feel about that? That is trying to solve the problem.
Well, as a strategy, obviously they made a commitment to get families out of hotels, so they've come up with the hub concept, which obviously is better than a hotel, but it's certainly not a long-term solution and shouldn't be seen as a long-term solution. And ideally, there should be some sort of time limit on the amount of time that a family or an individual spends in one of these hubs, because what we should really be doing is trying to get people into homes. I mean, that's what people want. That's what we need to do. And it's almost a distraction, really, from the real issue, which is we don't have enough social housing units. We stopped building them almost 20 years ago. We relied on the private sector to provide units, and then the state would obviously pay rent supplement, and it's a housing assistance payment, so it was reliant on the private sector. It still is. And that hasn't worked. It won't work because the private sector now are obviously only going to build units to sell onto the private market. So the state needs to build social housing units. And, you know, you can talk about hubs or various other programs all you want, but it still won't solve the problem, and it still won't get those families or individuals into homes.
Now, the things you're looking for investment in, like social housing, education,
yeah,
childcare, regional development,
yeah,
this all needs funding put into it, and huge amounts of funding put into it, and people are talking about tax cuts, tax reductions.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that, Michelle?
I suppose, I mean, for the past number of years, we've said that any money that's available should be put into investment in infrastructure and in those areas you outlined. And also, before I get into the tax issue, the second thing we should remember is that the fiscal space is not a limited number. Government can choose to raise other revenue and invest it. You know, they're not limited to just the fiscal space that everybody's speaking about at the moment. You know, they tell us that they're limited to this fiscal space, but of course they're not limited. They can make other choices and they can raise revenue to invest in areas if they wanted to. It remains to be seen what will happen at the budget, but listening to the minister when he announced the summer economic statement the other day, it doesn't appear to me that they're going to go beyond the fiscal space. Then in terms of tax cuts, they're talking, although they seem to be moving slightly back from it, but obviously they're talking about income tax cuts. And realistically, the pressure that people feel, especially, you know, people who are in employment and people who aren't in employment, the pressure they feel is because they're paying for services, things like childcare, they're paying their car insurance, they're paying their mortgage, they're paying their rent, they're paying their energy bills, dental bills, various other things, and that's having a huge impact on their disposable income. No matter how much of a tax cut you give, you'll never be able to give an individual enough money in their pocket to pay for all those things from their disposable income. You know, an extra 20, 30 euros a month isn't going to cover childcare costs for a family, or, you know, assisting if you've an elderly parent, for example, and you're looking to get a care package for them. It's not going to deliver any of those things. So, and what most people are saying is actually what they want is investment in decent services that, you know, there's not going to be a huge charge associated with. Yet, you know, obviously, particularly Fine Gael is primarily focused on cutting income tax. But if you cut taxes, then you've less money to go around. So if you do decide to cut the taxes, then they should really be honest and say, well, where is that cut also going to come from expenditure? You know, are they going to take it out of the health budget, the education budget? Are they going to take it out of the housing budget? Are they going to take it away from childcare? Because it will have to come from somewhere.
Yeah, and you just mentioned childcare there. Is it still the case, Michelle, that childcare in Ireland is one of the most expensive in Europe?
Yes, we were the most expensive in the European Union. I think now we're the second most expensive in the European Union. And in terms of the OECD, I mean, in terms of the cost to a family, it's among the highest as well. So, because we have in this country, we've never really developed the infrastructure for childcare. It's just been quite ad hoc, and the problem is now we're trying to bring all the different elements together. And, you know, the scheme announced last year is a positive move in the right direction in trying to bring everything under the one umbrella, but, you know, it still doesn't cover childminders, for example, and various other issues. And we really need to be investing in the overall infrastructure, because the sector itself is obviously finding it difficult to absorb various changes that the government are implementing. And for, I think, the past 4 years, we have had the European Commission produces country-specific recommendations every year looking at certain issues. And the past 4 years, they've made a recommendation that government needs to start looking at the childcare issue and investing in childcare. So we've had this for 4 years. They see this as a problem, and yet we still seem to be unable to invest the requisite amount of money into the sector. And it also, you know, it's not just putting money into the facilities, it's looking at wages in the sector. How do you retain the workers? How do you, and you also need to look also then at employment, like how do we make employment flexible for families and for parents? You know, what flexibility can be brought in there and into the working day to bring in a better work-life balance for people? And, you know, this, it, when it comes to childcare, the issue that's mainly discussed is cost. The other issues, things, you know, like work-life balance, levels of pay in the sector, all those other things, they need to be brought into the mix as well.
Now, Michelle, I interview a lot of organisations, voluntary organisations, and one of those organisations is a single parent group, and it always comes back to me, it always hits me that it's a single parent trying to access employment, and the cost of childcare is always a huge setback to achieving that.
Hugely, it's hugely prohibitive, and because the problem is the cost is so high that for, you know, a single parent trying to re-enter the labour market, the base salary that they would need to earn would be a significant amount of money, and you know it's not easy to find those kind of jobs. And also, you know, if you're on your own, you don't have perhaps the support the couple have in terms of, you know, when do you start your employment? It goes back to the balance. When do you have to drop your child to the childminder, to the childcare facility? When do they need to be picked up? When do you finish employment? You know, how long is the journey from where you work to your house to where your child is being cared for? Like, there's a huge amount of issues there. And it also boils down to cost, the amount of money you would need to be earning to cover, because you still have to cover your rent or your mortgage, you know, your energy bills, your food, all the other costs that are associated with day-to-day living on top of then childcare, transport to work. So, you know, it's really, really difficult for lone parents trying to re-enter the labour market.
Now, we'll just move away from childcare now for the moment. Mm-hmm. I was actually talking to a neighbour of mine, an elderly neighbour of mine, last night. I was putting out her bin for her, and she came out to me, and she said she had got a letter from the people who collect her bins, and it was to tell her that she would be fined 25 or 30 euro if she put the wrong stuff into the wrong bin. And she was quite upset about receiving this letter, and there's things like this happening all over the place. And she was saying to me she doesn't think her politicians are in touch with what's happening with real life.
Yeah, and I think that's you know, it's not just confined to your neighbour.
No,
you hear that a lot. I mean, you know, for a start, couldn't they have, if they had found just take the example you gave, if the company had found something the last time that was perhaps in the wrong bin, surely they could have left a note or something.
Yeah.
On the day that it had happened to inform your neighbour. Secondly, you know, you have to put them out. I mean, I put them out the night before. You can't control for what someone walking up and down your street might throw in, for example, into your recycling bin that's not recyclable, you know. So those issues need to be considered. But it's, I suppose, the point that you made there, that I suppose a lot of the decisions that take place, particularly in Leinster House, and a lot of the discussions that take place in Leinster House, just seem so far removed from people's day-to-day lives and the day-to-day reality of, you know, the costs that they face, the lack of services. And you mentioned waste there. You know, it's so unclear, both to me and to the general public, what's actually happening with the waste charges.
Yeah.
Now, you know, when are people do people have to transition to the pay by weight? When is it going to happen? Is the state going to set the price by kilo, or is it going to be set by the industry? Are we going to look at standing charges, for example? Because, you know, in general, the industry is going to have to look at standing charges, because the point of pay by weight is to incentivize people to recycle and reduce the amount of waste. But, you know, these companies are in the private sector. They also need to make a profit. And if you are incentivized to recycle a lot, they're obviously going to lose money because, you know, you're not generating waste. So they're going to have to make up that money elsewhere, and they'll make that up via the standing charges. It's unclear what's going to happen there. And it's unclear what about if you don't live in an urban area. If you're living in the countryside, for example, most people in the country don't have access to a brown bin. So most people don't know what's happening, yet you have different politicians on the airwaves saying, oh, it's incredibly clear, it's happening over the next 15 months, it's happening over the next 12 months. Some of them say it's happening in September, but nobody actually seems to know, and nobody is being clear about how much it's going to cost.
It is. It's worrying, especially for elderly people out there. Yeah, and I read a statement from St. Vincent de Paul there last week that they're very, very concerned about the increased bin charges, and also, I believe, electricity charges are due to be increased as well. It seems to be constant,
yeah,
Michelle.
The cost of fuel and energy is going up. So we're going to see an increase in, you know, people will see an increase in their bills. It is really worrying for people, especially people on a fixed income. And you mentioned there are older people who are reliant on a pension, which is a fixed income. A lot of people are reliant on just the state pension, not even the contributory one, the non-contributory one. So you have very little room to manoeuvre if there's any increase in your monthly outgoings and things like energy costs. If they go up, then you have to reduce your outgoings elsewhere. And what the Vincent de Paul found last year, that'll, and actually what the CSO found as well when they published the survey on income and living conditions, is in terms of deprivation, people generally tend to go without heat at certain points during the winter months in order to cover other costs.
Right, Michelle, as I said, it is very worrying for people. And
it is.
I hope your budget submissions are going to be submitted on Monday. Is that what you said, Michelle?
Monday. We're launching on Monday, so it'll be on the website, Social Justice Study, at 11 o'clock, and we'll be circulating it to, obviously, all the elected representatives, and we'll be making our case, various Oireachtas committees, and obviously between now and the budget in October, we'll be strongly making the case for investment. And, you know, if their government are really going to deliver on their Republic of Opportunity, which they keep talking about, well, then you really need to look at people who've lost out most in the past number of years and look at how you make a Republic of Opportunity for them and ensure they're included in everything.
Yeah, it's the people down the bottom that have to be looked after and prioritised. So hopefully they listen to your submissions, Michelle, and you'll get some action on it.
I hope so too, John. I hope so too.
Okay. Listen, thank you very much, Michelle, for taking the call. It's always great, very interesting talking to you. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, John. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.